Hello, welcome to the second podcast of the Fire Police Motocross Podcasting Network. That's the FPMXPN, or is it PCN? So it's the FPMX... PN.
Why are we doing this again?
Okay, so there we go. We got that taken care of.
Sorry about that, people.
All right, so here at the FPMXPN, we're trying to do our second podcast, and it's going to approximately 30 minutes. Is that what we're going to do again?
Yeah, whatever comes up.
Okay.
Depends on how much you have to chit-chat about.
Well, I don't know. I got something I want to bring up.
Okay.
Because it's been bothering me for about 4 or 5 days.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. You told me the other day, something, I can't remember what you called me, but you said something about my pants. Remember that? Do you remember that? Because I had these cool pants, guys. Let me tell you. They have, like, they're painter pants, okay?
It said that you needed to get some grown-up man pants.
Okay, grown-up man pants. Anyway, these ones are grown-up man pants.
No, they're not.
No, I'm serious.
I want to explain what it is you wear.
You explain, I'll explain why.
He will not wear any pants except pants that have, like, the pockets down on the side where, like, carpenters put their hammers. Like, he wears, what are those pants called? What kind? They're called carpenter pants. That's what they're called. It's like painters wear them, whatever. They have those pockets down by your knees. And he will not wear pants unless it has that side pocket.
And let me explain. Because, and it's not just a side pocket. It has to be a certain size. Because I have a iPhone, was this a 6? Mm-hmm. The big one, you know. And it doesn't fit in a pocket. I don't want it in my front pockets.
It does fit in a
pocket. I don't
want to
sit on it. I just want to put it in my side pocket.
It fits in your front pocket like a normal grown-up man.
That's where I carry other things. And I don't want my phone in my front pocket.
So
I have it on my hip, you know.
Every pair of pants, shorts and long pants, that he owns has to have that dumb side pocket.
Yeah, and I hate the ones that have the big pockets on each side. Were they cargo pants or something?
Yeah.
I don't like my phone flopping around in those babies.
So the other day I asked him, I said, Ed, are you ever going to get a grown-up man pants?
And I said, I have them now. I already have such.
He also has a Velcro wallet.
I do not. I don't have a Velcro wallet. You want to hear the story about that one? My buddy I grew up with got married many years ago. And he was in San Francisco. His name was Tom Aquistapace. Still is. And when I flew up to there, I was the best man at the wedding. So I flew up the night before the wedding. Or maybe 2 nights before the wedding, I can't remember. But anyway, they had this dinner, and I was going to, and I was in an Italian restaurant, and I was I didn't know anyone in there except for Tom. You know, I was at the table, and the guy, I thought I was in a mafia place. It was like a lot of Italian men wearing very nice clothes, sitting around the table talking, and all of a sudden they started talking about wallets. And then the subject of Velcro wallets came up. And I just kept my mouth shut. I'm pretty quiet anyway, so I just sat there and I was hoping that they didn't talk to me about it. And then after about 10 minutes of ripping on Velcro wallets, everybody wanted to see the other guy's wallets. So eventually I had to pull out my orange Velcro wallet. And I felt like an idiot. And they all gave me this look. Like, I thought I was going to be taken out in the back and shot or something. And then...
What 30-year-old man has a orange Velcro wallet?
Okay, probably first of all, the same, I was like 23 or something.
Probably the same
and second
kind
of, all,
of man, 57-year-old man who wears carpenter pants.
Well, anyway.
And?
My buddy then slides this box over to me and I open it up and it's a nice leather wallet. So they had set me up. So,
oh, is that what it was?
That's what it was. But so I haven't gone Velcro since. Once you go leather, you never go back.
You want to go Velcro, though.
Not really. Because the Velcro wears out. You know? And it's a little embarrassing when you open it and go, makes the Velcro noise.
What about your belt?
Okay. All right, my belt. Okay, so I have a belt I like. Okay. Sue can't stand
Seriously?
It.
Seriously? After listening to this, you're going to think he is like a 13-year-old boy.
Well, anyway, I don't tuck my shirts in, you know, so you can't see my belt anyway. But I bought some pants, you know, those kind that you go fishing, and they're like, they zip off at the knee, and they're made out of like a nylon. Well, anyway, I was going fly fishing up in the Sierras, and I bought a pair of those, and they had these, I guess they're like, were they like a belt made out of, what?
Rope.
Not rope. Like Jethro Bodine. No, it's like nylon. It's a nylon.
Oh, yeah, nylon.
Nylon belt. And it's got a plastic belt buckle that just kind of...
The kind that...
Clamps.
Clamps open and shut. But that is his belt.
Because listen to this. When you go through airports, you don't have to take it off.
And you do that all the time.
No, but I wore it the first time to do that because I thought, what a great idea. And I didn't have to take my belt off. And then I got used to it, and I like this belt. It's lightweight. It doesn't require... It can fit at any size. There's no hole I have to match up or anything. It's like, you know, sometimes they're too tight, too loose. This one's perfect every time. Okay.
So let's recap.
So what else?
We've got carpenter pants, a plastic belt, Velcro.
No, I don't have a Velcro wallet. I have a leather wallet. It's like a trifold wallet.
Like a real grown-up wallet.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm a grown-up.
When are you going to get some man pants?
I got them. I'm telling you, I'm not switching out. If you want to cut the belt loop thing off on the side that holds the hammers, that's fine with me. I don't care. But I want my pocket on the right side.
And I want to tell you a story about this pocket that he just loves to put his phone in. We were walking in a parking lot, and I said, I bet you I could lift that phone out of his pocket, and he wouldn't even know. So I walked up beside him, gently grabbed that phone out of his pocket, and he had no idea.
Well, I retired those pants.
You did?
Yeah, I don't have those pants anymore.
This
now,
was just like a month ago.
Well, hey, things happen. Those are shorts anyway. I probably didn't retire them. I'm not wearing them right now, though.
I just... think it like sits out there for the world to see.
But not these ones. This pair I have on is a perfect size pocket. And I'd like people to measure it and make these pants for me because they're perfect.
I'd like any of our listeners to try to lift his phone from him.
Honey.
At Supercross or something.
There's like two listeners. If you happen to be in the same state, maybe we'll try it.
Well, there's some fire police guys that are listening. If you lift his phone from him without him knowing, I'll pay you $20 for it.
No.
Yes.
No. I don't need lifting phones.
Yeah, because we're going to show you that it's not safe.
Okay. So I think it is safe.
It's much safer in your front pocket.
Okay, so we have a race coming up. And we're getting some fast guys coming out to this race. So I'm kind of excited about seeing guys actually battling for the national championship.
Who's coming out?
Well, we have a few past champions coming out, which would be Alex Zapata, Todd Gravett, Ryan Chapin. Those guys are all going good. We have some new guys coming out. David Pingree. Travis Baker, and then we have the world champion, Billy Jurevich, coming out, and I want people to know, I mean, they think Billy's fast, sure, but I beat Billy quite often in motocross. I do.
Not quite often, probably 10 times a day, as much as I see you on that stupid thing.
Okay, so anyway... I kind of got addicted to this game called Mad Skills Motocross. And it's a free game on your phone. Anyway, I beat Billy once in a while. No big deal. But Billy's coming out. And did I say Joe Adolph?
No.
Maybe Joe Aloff's coming out. And there's a lot of guys who are going at a good pace who could battle. And I don't think it's going to actually maybe be the fastest guy who wins. It's going to be the guy who's consistently at the races and makes all the motos and has good finishes.
Damien Liss, are you coming out?
Damien's thinking about it.
Come on, Damien.
But he's rusty right now. Just because you got
kids and blah, 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 doesn't mean you can't ride anymore.
Well, Damien bought a brand new KTM 250 this year. So he's back on a bike, talking about coming out. But, you know, it's a drive.
Yeah, I know.
So we'll see. If he makes it all the way out here from Arizona, it's not that far. It's like me going to work. Well, I used to go to work.
Sort of.
In L.A. Okay, so we got that coming up. And then, actually, I was contacted today by David Pingree. And we're trying to put together a fundraiser for a fireman from San Bernardino County, Corey Norton. I'm not familiar with Corey, but he has cancer, and we're going to try to raise some money for him.
He works with family. David.
Works in the same department with David. So anyway.
So you're planning a motocross event.
We're trying to. I'm in negotiations or talks with Lori from Glen Helen, and I think everything will be good as long as the schedule's free. About having either a Monday or a Tuesday, it's a ride, basically. It's not a race. It's a...
Oh, you're not going to race?
Not a race, no. Oh. It's a ride. So we'll go out to Glen Helen and try to just have fun, raise some money, and see what we could put together. We're looking at February 22nd or 23rd right now. But this is all just preliminary stuff. We'll get more details as we get closer. But it's one of those deals where we go out and we support our brothers. And like, I've never met Corey, but he's one of our brothers, so we're going to take care of him the best we can. All right, so we have David Pingree calling in now to give us a little bit more information. David, say hello.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
We're doing good. All right, so I'd already talked to him a little bit about what was going on. Do you want to explain what you're up to, what you're starting to do?
Yeah, so basically, we have an engineer at San Bernardino County Fire that was just recently diagnosed with a really rare type of cancer and in a really rare spot on his spine, and it's metastasized into his lungs, and he's got just got a super long road in front of him, and, you know, obviously everybody in the department's trying to rally around and help and do what they can, and I just wanted to try to create, you know, some opportunity to raise some money that maybe some other guys couldn't or didn't have the contacts, and that's when I reached out to you, and I thought between the two of us we could do something cool with a ride day. There's a lot of guys in the fire and police world that like to ride, and if we can do something fun and raise some money for Corey, Corey Norton is his name, then shoot, we need to do it, so... I really appreciate you coming on board and helping, and the folks and the sponsors yet to be named that will help, I'm sure. So, just stoked to be able to help them out.
Yeah, I'm excited to help you. I think we could get a lot of guys out, and like we talked about earlier today, there's a lot of guys who don't race but just like to ride, and it'd be a great opportunity for them to ride Glen Helen and. You know, like I was just saying a few minutes ago on this podcast, that just like Mount St. Helens is something that people see on TV, but they've never ridden. And it'd be kind of cool to do it in a non-race atmosphere where you can just go out and see it and feel it.
But, yeah, absolutely. And if we can, you know, the idea is to make it really a mellow day. Trails are going to be open, the whole facility, so you don't have to come out and just do laps on the track if you have sort of an off-road bike or you don't feel comfortable on the track. Hey, you can still come out and just ride and find something that you enjoy out there. There's plenty of land and trails and roads to go do that on, so there's something for everybody.
Yeah, they have a lot of different things out there, and we talked earlier today about maybe getting some pros out there to maybe donate some gear, stuff we could raffle off, or different things that we can do to raise funds.
I'm gonna hit up a bunch of my friends within the industry and get some product to be donated or raffled off, and then again I'm gonna just reach out to all my buddies that race and anybody that's in town. I'm gonna hit them up just so they can swing out for a couple hours, or whatever, come out and ride. So again, we're real early in the stages, planning stages of it, but I'm pretty sure I can get some pros to come out and hang out and spend a little bit of time out there.
Yeah. What, in your opinion, what would be the better day to get pros out there, especially guys who have been racing Supercross? Would it be a Monday or a Tuesday?
I don't think it really matters too much. They're gonna be back at the Supercross track Monday morning either way.
Okay.
So my hope would be that maybe the Cali guys will be riding up there at the track at Glen Helen anyway. The pro circuit guys anyway, and maybe the rest of them could pop up in the afternoon when they're done. So I don't think there's one day that's better than the other.
Okay, perfect. Well, we'll leave that up to Lori then, see what she could come up with. So, I'm excited to help you with this project, and we'll make it happen.
I appreciate it, Ed. And again, we'll have more information out on your website, on RacerX's website, and just department-wide, Jurelli County and San Bernardino County, once we've got everything finalized.
Yeah, I think we have a good reach, on all the social networks, and we should be able to reach a lot of people in this area. And get fire police guys and a lot of just guys who are not connected to the fire police, just good, riders who just want to come out and support. So
yeah, that's right. Yep. Doesn't mean you have to be a part of either one of those worlds. Anybody that just wants to come out and ride and support a good cause, it'd be a great day to come out.
Yep. All right, David. Hey, we really appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks for having me on, Ed. We'll be in touch soon.
All right. Thanks. Good night.
Okay. Take care.
Okay, so let's talk about some Supercross. We have Oakland this weekend. My wife doesn't really want to go to that one.
Yeah, only because it's supposed to rain the entire time. Do you have Oakland on here?
I do. It would be the bottom one. Push the button on the bottom. Huh. Right there.
Oh.
So anyway, Oakland, it's usually a good race, but the facility is kind of old, and plus the Raiders play there. So.
Oh, the facilities there are not good.
So it says rain on Friday, but not on Saturday.
Yeah.
So that might be a good deal. But, you never know. Like, look at Anaheim 1, what happened there.
Yeah.
They were having pictures of a lake in the track, and then all of a sudden it was a beautiful track. And actually, the track was drier than Anaheim 2. When I walked that track, it was like I was walking through
a bunch of mud. It's just such a long drive to Oakland, and it's kind of a scary area.
Yeah, the pits are, you're secure during the day. It's fine. You don't want to be out and about in town. I got lost there one time, and I couldn't find my way out. And I saw a fire station. I pulled right on the apparatus approach there in front of the door and just pulled out my cell phone and found my way out. And there was a CHP drove by and looked at me. I was crazy, but I just, showed him, my phone real quick and said, I'm getting out of here, and he took off. But he was fine with me doing that. But definitely that's breaking the law, and I feel bad about that. So I'm going to turn myself in. But anyway, it's a bad area up there, some of the areas. And
well, it's like when we – last year, right after Supercross, the security people were like, you can't spend the night here. It's not safe. You need to leave.
Yeah, they were telling us to
normally we spend the night and leave first thing in the morning, but they were telling everybody, oh, you probably shouldn't spend the night here.
Yeah, they said we should go, round up all the people and sleep, in the same area. And I'm like, well, I don't want to do that either because, if it's not safe, it's not safe. I'm out here. So we drove all the way over to the 5 and then found some place to sleep in a truck stop for the night.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to going to Phoenix, though, and going to the new stadium. And
yeah, I haven't been there yet.
Checking that out and seeing what that's like.
That should be interesting. I like going to new stadiums. It's kind of cool to watch TV and watch a football game and know the stadium for some reason.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I don't know. Know the city around it.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. But so we got that, and then we have after that, what do we have? Oh, after Phoenix, we have San Diego again, which is a home race for us. I love that it's right down the street. It's a half an hour from here. Although that's a sketchy part of town too.
No, it's not sketchy there. It's just because of where it is. There's a lot of homeless.
Yeah. I mean, okay.
But so, everything around it is really nice. Like the convention center's there. The gas lamp is right there. It's everything around it is, they have really nice apartments around it.
It's a nice area.
Yeah.
It's just that you don't want to walk through there at night.
Yeah.
You know, and the guys were jumping the fence, the people who are homeless around that area, and trying to break into the rigs.
Oh, they were?
Oh, yeah. I heard many stories. They tried to break into our rig. And
oh, they did?
Yep. And it was, I heard that Jeff Seeley, his motorhome, Cole's dad, they were trying to break into that while he was in it.
While he was in it?
That's what I heard. That's what my buddy Vinny Scanapico from Yonkers Fire Department told me.
Wow. Did they ever get that one guy's motorcycle? Did they ever find it?
I have no idea. I haven't seen anything about it yet.
Tell them that story.
I don't know about it. I just saw it on...
Well, yeah, whatever you saw about it.
Well, I just saw it on Instagram that... that Caden got his bike ripped off and out of the tunnel at Anaheim. And then someone spotted it in the back of a truck, but who knows? You know, I didn't see numbers on the bike in the back of the truck. Who knows if that's even the bike? I don't know. I haven't, you know, heard anything else about it, so I really don't have a lot to talk about that. But, you know.
Oh, that's scary that they're trying to break in to the motorhomes and stuff.
Yeah, that happened to me once when I flew to,
No? No, you gotta tell the story about the time you were driving down the freeway in the motorhome.
Oh, on the way through San Diego?
When the guy was...
All right, so I went to Irv Braun's race, which was at ACP, and I was there helping some friends out. Their kids were racing. I was just spending a couple days there, and then I was coming home. I was by myself, coming home down the 8, and as you're coming through, entering into San Diego, you're going by like the Viejas Casino and all that, and it's kind of a long downhill, and it was late at night, you know, about 11 p.m., something like that. And I started seeing a lot of brake lights. There wasn't that many cars on the road, but I started seeing a lot of brake lights in front of me. So I started slowing the motorhome down because it, you know, weighs a lot more than these cars. And so I started early. And as I was coming up to this, to the cars that were stopped on the freeway, I see this gentleman standing in the middle of the freeway with his arms stretched out right in front of my motorhome. And I'm like...
Like trying to stop you?
Yeah, like he did stop me because I wasn't going to run over him, you know. So I stopped. He walked up to the front of the motorhome. I started pounding with both hands, both like open palms on the glass of the, you know, the front windshield. And I couldn't go anywhere. So he started to walk around to the side of the motorhome and I started to take off. And he jumped on the mirror and was holding on to my mirror. So I don't want, these mirrors aren't the strongest thing in the world. So I stopped, let him get off the mirror. And he came back to the front. And he stood there and started pounding on the windshield again. And then he started to walk around the side again where the door is. And I took off again. And he had jumped up onto the door area where he had, the steps were folded in. But there's little areas you put your feet into. And he was on there. I looked in my side mirror and I saw him hanging on. And then he's hanging onto the handle by the door. And I'm thinking, okay, what do I do? You know, like, do I go fast? He falls off and I get in trouble for this, you know, go to jail, manslaughter, whatever. I don't know. I'm a fireman. I don't know. But it could be that. Who knows? Or do I stop? Or is my door even open? I don't know. I don't remember if I locked it or not. So I saw like some signs on the side of the freeway and I was going to go and rub him off, you know, like.
Like, he is a bug.
Yeah, like get real close, but then I didn't want to break my mirror either. So I stopped, and he came up to the front of the windshield again. And then when he went around again, I took off, and this time he didn't get a chance to hold on. And I looked through my rearview mirror, and I saw him still on the freeway, so I knew I was safe.
Did you call 911? I can't remember.
No, I called nobody. I just went home because, you know, there was like several people in front of me stopped. I mean, I was out of there. I was scot-free. What are they going to do, you know?
Well, he was obviously trying to do something. You could have...
I've only called 911 twice in my life. And I'm not going to call 911. Well, no, I've called a couple more times. Called the one time the guy was breaking our house. But I actually called... I had you call once for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me to call 911, it's pretty bad. I've been through a lot. And never called 911. Drive myself to the hospital. Broken bones, whatever. But one time, I had kidney stones for 5 days. And I toughed it out for 2.5 days. And I mean, it was brutal. And then on towards the end of that third day, I just couldn't take it.
It was brutal for our entire neighborhood.
Well,
you were screaming so loud in pain.
Can you demonstrate how it sounded?
No, because it sounded very like, okay, honestly.
Like we were having a good time.
Yeah, like he was having a really good time. So I wanted to go out in front and stand in the driveway and go, nothing's happening, people. It's just... My husband's got kidney stones. That's the moaning you hear.
No, but it was brutal. I actually, like, I would sit on the couch and I'd start getting them. Like, it's brutal. And then I would, like, end up on my knees in front of the couch. And then I'd end up on the floor. And then twice I woke up. I had just, I guess, hyperventilated or something, passed out. It was kind of weird. You know, I just wake up in no pain, just laying there and have no recollection of when. You know, when the pain stopped, it's kind of weird. But finally, I just called 911, and they took me to the first of all it was Oceanside. No, it was Carlsbad.
No, it was Oceanside that came.
Oceanside came. We're right kind of near Oceanside in Carlsbad, and I just told them I was a fireman and I need morphine right now. And they actually did that for me. They gave me morphine before they made contact, which I love. And then that helped a little bit. And then they took me to the hospital, and I still came home and had 2 days worth of it, of pain.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, it's.
I actually brutal. Called 911 for you another time.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Okay, so I was in the backyard, and we lived in Moreno Valley, and I was doing some work back there, trimming bushes or something, and this I got stung by a hornet in my head. And I'm allergic to hornets, wasps, and yellow jackets. I've had an anaphylactic reaction when I was young on the fire department before. I had some immunity treatments for it, but in the middle of my immunity treatments, I got hired by Santa Barbara City Fire for a while and went up there and just stopped the treatment. So I had no idea if I was immune or not. And I got stung. I was a paramedic at the time. I got stung and I thought, oh no. Oh no. So do I sit here and wait to see if I'm going to have a reaction and then them take, you know, 5 minutes to get here? Or do I just call now just in case? And so I called and I felt like an idiot. But
no, I called.
Okay, you called, but I felt like an idiot still. And I knew by the time they arrived that I wasn't having any reaction. So I was just kind of embarrassed and I was going to go out and tell them that, you know, everything's cool, go home. And then my wife decides to panic, first of all. And she,
well, I didn't want you to stop breathing.
Yeah, well. She runs outside and greets the medics who are coming in. And, you know, I had told her, or she knows I'm supposed to take epinephrine for that, right? So she greets the paramedics. And she says, my husband got stung by a wasp. He needs Epicac. Epicac.
No, I said, do you guys carry Epicac with you? Do you carry Epicac with you? And it was a girl paramedic. And she's looking at me like, what? I said, do you have Epicac? He got stung. He needs Epicac. And she's like, ma'am, why do you want your husband to vomit? And I go, oh, what's it called? She's like, do you mean epinephrine? You know what that was called?
Yeah, epinephrine.
I said, oh, yeah, that. So she came in and she looked at Ed, and Ed is calm as can be. And she said, I think we should take her blood pressure because I think hers is probably higher than yours.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway.
What do I know? I'm not a paramedic.
No, you're not.
But I gave them something to talk about when they went back to the station.
Yeah, they're probably still talking about it.
Hey, that was my service for the day. Anyway, okay, enough 911 calls. All right, so is that it?
Yeah, I got no other topics that I need to discuss right now.
So we'll give you further information about the charity event if we end up.
I'm sure we'll
do the charity ride.
We'll do something. We're just trying to get the dates squared away right now. I mean, I've been in contact with Lori, and I think everything's fine, but I think she needs to just go look at the calendar and make that thing happen. And we like everybody to come out. It's not a race. The park, if we get the park, it'll be open to everybody to ride wherever. If you ever wanted to, you know, ride that track and do those hills, that's there. That's a time to do it.
Yeah.
Not in a race.
Yeah.
Mount St. Helens, you know, that's like
and everyone will be invited. Deal.
And Talladega actually is a pretty cool corner, the first corner of Glen Helen. If you go slow on Talladega, it's hard to ride. It's a pretty good sloped corner. So you need to stay on the gas a little bit there. But those hills are fun. And there's also just other tracks there and other places to ride in the hills. And especially if it's raining. Not raining, but if it had rained a few days before, it's beautiful. Love that place.
Okay, calm down.
Kind of like home away from home.
All right, so that is it for episode 2 of the...
Oh, boy. FPMXPC?
PN.
FPMXPN. Podcast Network.
Alrighty.
All right, signing off.
Hey.
What?
No.
You're haying them?
Yeah, I'm haying you people. Click the subscribe button on iTunes if you don't mind. That would be great. Thanks so much. All right. See you later.
Bye.